Hello everyone, my name is Steph McLeod and welcome to a brand new podcast series, This Is My Story, This Is My Song. In this podcast, I'll be interviewing some amazing people about their life, ministry, songs and music, and what it means to serve the church, especially during a season of lockdown and isolation. In this episode, I am so excited to be joined by my friend and sister in Christ, worship leader Lucy Grimble. Lucy's been leading worship and writing songs for many years. She's got such a heart for worshiping God and creating a space where people can encounter His love. Her songs carry a powerful message of freedom, hope, and identity in Jesus. So tune in as Lucy and I discuss life as a worship leader in lockdown, her incredible studio album, God's Heart Explodes, and what the love of our Heavenly Father means to us. You're going to love this, so sit back, relax, and I'll catch you at the end. Hi, Lucy, how you doing? Lovely to have you here. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing good, Steph. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
Oh, that's amazing. Thanks for giving me your time to come and speak with me and also for our listeners. I said a bit about you on the introduction there, but would you just like to tell us a little bit more about Lucy Grimble?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Lucy, born and raised in London. I'm a worship leader, a singer-songwriter. I'm a worship pastor at my local church. So my time is sort of split between leading our team at our local church and sort of, you know, building and supporting the team there. And then writing songs and then going out and sort of leading worship in different churches or different events around the country and normally around the country and also normally overseas. So. Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, I've had the privilege of writing with you and leading worship a few times. I think the first time I saw you was at Big Church Day Out a couple of years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. The one down south, man. I absolutely loved it. I mean, live music's just evaporated in the last 12 months. So, I mean, how's lockdown been for you? The landscape's changed for me in many respects. So how's lockdown been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been super challenging. It's been, I think it's just very confronting when suddenly everything changes. You know, overnight you go from like kind of being able to see ahead about 6 months what you've got coming up and like where you're going to be going and who you're going to be working with, all that kind of stuff, to like literally overnight that just disappearing. So I think it was like having the rug pulled from under my feet. And that just brings up a lot. It brings up a lot of, you know, dependencies that you don't even know are there. You know, a lot of parts of your life where you're like, oh, I'm kind of like trusting in this, or I'm depending on this for my security or like my foundation. And then suddenly that's taken away and you're like, oh gosh, okay, I can't trust in that. I can't rely on that. So I think overall, like with the benefit of having, you know, we've all been through this for almost a year now, with the benefit of hindsight and with the benefit of not being in the thick of the emotion and the kind of what felt like just chaos and uncertainty and craziness, like it does feel like we're sort of moving out of it. So now with the benefit of hindsight, I'm kind of, you know, grateful for the season in some ways, because I think it's made me do a lot of internal work. It's made me kind of come back to God in a way that I've, you know, just not had to, you know, because if I'm being really honest, like I've just been comfortable, or I've been just kind of used to a certain status quo. And then when everything gets turned upside down, you have to just like find God again, you know, find Him in the middle of a very different place. So I think now I can say like I'm so grateful for the refining and stripping season that this has been. But yeah, there's been some very testing points, I think, for all of us, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. I found myself reflecting on this over the last week, actually. Just lockdown actually permitted things to happen for me that I'd been wanting to happen for a long time. So spending more time at home, engaging with songwriting, being around my family more, because I was on the road quite a lot as well. Yeah. I think the hardest thing for me was actually adjusting to it. You know what I mean? It's just I had a lot of difficulty getting to grips with what was happening around me. And that was probably one of the biggest, as well as all the other things that, that had happened outside of our lives that we weren't able to engage in because we were restricted and kept in the house, you know what I mean? The wonders of technology, I don't think I've ever been such a techno geek in my life in terms of internet and streaming. Don't get me wrong, I think I'm starting to lose a lot more hair over it, but it's certainly been interesting. And have you had any opportunity to serve online or anything like that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've done a bunch of virtual events where, you know, I've led worship at different events. And also I've not done one for a little while, and I really need to. It's like permanently on my to-do list basically. But I did a few nights of worship just, you know, from my flat, just no agenda, kind of 45 minutes of worship, that kind of thing. And that was really beautiful because it kind of, you know, it's like anyone can dial into that from around the world. So you'd have people in like Hawaii and Brazil and like Sweden, like dialing into these things. And just, those were really special moments for me because I was like, actually, this has opened up stuff in a way, like you're saying, like that maybe we just didn't think was possible before. Mm-hmm. And I think there's real power in that, like, you know, discovering things that are happening in other parts of the world. So yeah, I have led worship online. And then at church, you know, pretty much every Sunday I'm leading worship, and that's to a camera, you know, broadcast into people's homes. So, you know, that's also just been a real adjustment to get used to that, like not having a congregation to worship with physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that, man. It's very much part of being a worship leader is, you know, being aware of what's happening in the room, you know. Yeah. And I've done some stuff here in my wee room and with Celtic Worship. I guess it's been really challenging, but the opportunity to serve has always been there, you know what I mean? And the world has certainly become smaller as a result of and like you said, it's really encouraging. Like my wife loves the fact that she can tune into any church on a Sunday at any time, you know? So like there's always a church service going on, you know? So if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we can hit the dial on the Calvary Chapel or something like that in the States. And we just love it, man. You know what I mean? So it's a great Sunday of worship, and I love it. So, I mean, I found lockdown quite challenging, and there's been a number of songs that have really helped me through it. Music's really got that incredible power to help you engage and process emotionally. For me, some of the standout songs were "Bear This Burden" by David Leonard. And also "Christ Our Hope in Life and Death" by the Gettys. I just wondered, are there any songs that have helped you through lockdown, or any songs that you've written, or perhaps anything that's scripturally, the Psalms that have helped you through lockdown?
Yeah, so much. I mean, I think, in terms of leading worship, I have led Faithful One so often. That's been such a anchoring song for me, and actually it was so cool. I got to do a duet of that with Brian Dirksen. So I'd you know, the beginning of lockdown, I just was like, whoa, a lot of these songs that I'm kind of normally singing on a Sunday morning just don't seem to like cut it right now, you know, where people are just really reeling with all this emotion and they need like stability. They, you know, we need steadiness, we need to know like the faithfulness of God. And so I was leading Faithful One so much, and then I got asked to do Prom Praise, and it was a duet with Brian Dirksen of that song. And I was just like, that is so crazy. Like, God, how you just line these things up. So I think it's that song has had a really kind of special meaning for me in this season. And then I think in terms of the Psalms, the like very early on, like kind of last March, when lockdown first started, Psalm 91 was just a huge go-to for me. Now I'm on to Matthew 6, you know, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has, you know, for today has enough worries of its own. If he can clothe the lilies of the field, and if he looks after the sparrows, like how much is he going to, more is he going to look after you? So do not worry. So yeah, there's been some key scriptures and key songs for me definitely in this season.
That's wonderful. You're reminding me of my daughter there, like the, because because my wife's NHS, they've been allowed into the hub school around the corner. Yeah. And my eldest daughter is really into bird watching, you know. I don't know where she gets it from. She's just fascinated with animals and birds and their behaviors and stuff like that. But like, we'd be walking to the school and she'd be looking at the birds and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, they don't look worried at all. You know what I mean?
Totally.
They're just getting on with it, man. And it's like,
totally.
Do they get their food when it snows, Dad? I'm like, you know what? I don't really know, but they know. And they know it's going to, they know it's going to turn up. And then when the snow melts, they know they're going to be able to get a bath. And you know what? They just seem to have this assurance, which, and a friend of mine said, you know, if only I'd trusted in God more, I'd have saved myself so much emotional grief over the last 12 months. But you know, I believe that it's only coming at the other side of an experience or a process that we can begin to understand that. And we're a resilient bunch, Christians, you know, we get through so much. And you're right, man, it's just that reminder of that God is faithful, which, you know, I can forget sometimes when things are unraveling. But it's those scriptures are beautiful, man. And you know, I really enjoyed your album. In fact, I enjoy all your albums, mate. The Burgess Barn one was just phenomenal. I loved that. But you know,
likewise.
Thank you. your most recent one, God's Heart Explodes. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So I recorded this album not last August, the August before, and it's a full band album. So the albums I've done in the past have been more sort of live, you know, kind of in the room kind of albums, but this one was very much a studio album. So it was a lot more pre-planned. You know, we rehearsed loads as a band. We really had like dialed in on sounds, and it's just sort of a different approach going into the studio to record an album versus like, let's just capture what happens on the night. So it was really stretching for us as a band and really like a great creative challenge. Worked with an amazing producer on this album called Will Weeks. And essentially it's a collection of songs. So it's 13 songs, and that core theme of God's Heart Explodes runs through all of the songs. And really the kind of the meaning behind the title was Jesus on the cross, and how when we see Jesus on the cross and when we see Jesus as a man dying a physical death for us, that we see the heart of God, almost like the climax of the heart of God. It's like the most clear and powerful image of the love of God, that he would be willing to go that far to, you know, leave heaven, leave all of his privileges, leave his power, his glory, and come down to earth to serve us and walk as a man and not try and be a sort of political power hungry figure, but to walk as a humble man and then die an excruciating death. So that was really what inspired a lot of the writing. And I just wanted it to be this collection of songs that really just gathers around, the love of God and the fact that his heart explodes for us. Like his heart is like, he is so passionate for us. It's like violence to his love, you know, like, and I don't mean that in a kind of that he is violent, but I mean the cross is violent, you know, like his death is violent. And that is how deep his love is for us, that he would go through that. So yeah, that's kind of the theme. And then, you know, musically it draws on quite a few different styles, different genres, different musical references. I mean, we're quite eclectic as a band in terms of a collection of individuals and in terms of our different musical sort of lineages and like interests. So I wanted to kind of draw a lot of that in. So the writing's quite diverse between tracks, and it sort of draws on everything from kind of jazz to some soulful moments, some gospel moments, some kind of much more tender singer-songwriter moments. So yeah. It's like, I call it like my chocolate box album, you know, it's like kind of from the same family, but like they all taste a little bit different.
And it's a very tasty album, actually, you know. So it's, I mean, listening to it, I thought it was very bold musically, but not in the sense that you were being dangerous with that, but it was just, I get something from it every time I listen to it, you know what I mean? So whether it's the power of the beautiful lyrics, which are very honest and rich, And like you said, there's a real soulfulness to some to some of the music, you know, which I really, I love sort of Motown and soul and stuff like that. But it's like songs like keep my heart open, which is just like such a heartfelt prayer. Then you've got Goliath, which forgive me if I'm wrong, was that a charity song?
Yeah, so that song was with IJM, International Justice Mission, who are the largest anti-slavery charity in the world. And so I kind of did that song in partnership with them.
Amazing. I love IJM. The musicianship on that album is unbelievable. Oh. And there's loads of stuff happening, but it just sounds so effortless. And you know, Weeksy made such an incredible job of putting it together. I've got to talk about the groove of God of the Impossible Man. You know what I mean? That's that is a tune, man. And I certainly think there's something on this album for everybody, but I absolutely loved it, man.
Thank you, Steph. Oh, no, that means a lot coming from you, because I mean, I know, you know, you've got such broad musical taste as well, and musical talent. You know, I feel like you also can like cross different genres, and you do it so convincingly. You know, it feels very natural to you to like switch between genres, so yeah, that means a lot coming from you, my friend.
Oh, no worries. It certainly is a feast, and if you haven't heard Lucy's album, please come to the table. It's available online. You sang on my upcoming EP, which is just about to drop, which Oh Perfect Father, and you sang on the title track, which, you know, a little bit like your own album, although it is a bit smaller. My focus was the needs of my community. And then through those needs, you know, I see the heart of the Father and the love of God. I wanted to ask you, you know, what does the heart of the Father look like to you? What does the heart of the Father mean to you?
Oh, it's such a good question. And I kind of like to put it back on you. I'd love for you to also share, because I do feel like you carry such a revelation of the heart of the Father. I feel like it's interesting. I feel in our relationship with God, sometimes we have different weights of revelation of the different sides of God, because God has, there's so many aspects to who God is. And I feel like different people, depending on what you've been through in life, like the different aspects of God will mean different things to you. And I just always feel like you know, the way that you share about Father God is just so reassuring. I think that word reassuring, like reassurance, is just a huge part of what the heart of the Father means to me. It's that reassurance that, you know, one of my favorite verses about God is like, you know, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And that idea of a Father who is constant, and the idea of a Father who is just like the bedrock. He is the foundation. Like he's not going to crumble. He's not going to flake. He's not going to walk out. I think that just creates such reassurance and comfort. Whenever, if I'm feeling wobbly or if I'm, you know, doubting what's going on in life, it's just, I don't know, there's just like I say a comfort and reassurance that I get from that image of the Father.
It's wonderful. I remember talking to a friend, a mutual friend of ours, actually, at Open Skies, you know, and another mutual friend of ours who runs it. We have a good chin wag and stuff in the evenings, and they were just about to have a kid, and you know, we were talking dad stuff around the fire pit, and you know, I just passed on some advice which was given to me, which is, you know, being a dad's just about turning up, man. You know, it really is sometimes, because like, As a human, you know, we get it wrong. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to get it wrong, man. But, you know, turning up means that you've got a great opportunity to get it right from time to time, you know.
Right.
And I absolutely love the fact that I have learned so much about being a dad from the heart of the Father. And my kids have taught me more, I think, about the heart of the Father than anything other than Jesus, you know. I mean, and it's, you know, so when my kids come to me and say, "Dad, I'm so happy," I am overwhelmed, because I love to be a part of that, you know. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of somebody's joy?
Yeah.
But as a parent, when they come to you and they say, "Dad, I'm struggling with this," or I am angry," or "I am sad," which are natural emotions, you know, that it is an incredible privilege, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude that they would want me to be on that journey with them, you know.
So
And I know that my Father in heaven, I spent many years of my life thinking I had to be something more or perfect, or, you know, that I couldn't come to God in prayer about these things, but He loves me in my brokenness just as much as He loves me in my successes, you know.
Absolutely.
And I don't lose any value, you know, when I'm broken, like treasure, you know what I mean? Which is just wonderful. And I love that about the heart of the Father, man. He just looks on us with immeasurable love. Immeasurable love. And you know, and to me that all points to Jesus, which, you know, Him leaving His kingdom, coming to us, living, dying, rising again. Massive reflection, as you said, like on the cross of how much the heart's Father, that the Father's heart, forgive me, bursts for us, you know, how much He just absolutely loves us.
Yeah.
And it's been a joy and a privilege to write that hymn with Tony Wood in America, and also to sing it with you. And I thank you so much for
it's a beautiful song. I mean, I'm always like, sign me up for any song you write, Steph. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are just such an amazing writer, and I just think, you know, there's so much honesty in your songs and just like beautiful music, you know. Like, I always know it's going to be a good thing if you've written it. So yeah, it's such a privilege to sing on that song.
Well, thank you, Lucy. I really appreciate that, man. It's I know we've got a few songs that we've written that we're hoping to get out to the church probably this year, actually, which is because we wrote a song at Burgess Barn a couple of years ago, which was Thank You for Loving Me, which is,
I cannot wait for that song. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so ready.
Yeah,
I'm
it's so a good ready. One. Yeah. And it's an interesting one, because it was born out of a few different things, because it was me, yourself, and Kat Rhea, and you just had this idea, like, you know, why don't we worship for a little while? And we came in and we worshipped, and I think I was lost in worship, and then you were taking a few notes, like, oh, we need to get that, and then when we decided to write, you were like, oh, you sang this, we should write about that. And then just as we were like starting to come together with some ideas, a friend of mine phoned, who I do prison ministry with, and we were kind of thinking about that as well. And I said to him, what's the one thing you find a challenge when you're writing prison ministry? And he was like, a lot of these guys don't want to let go of the guilt and the shame because they think that it doesn't belong to Jesus, you know, or that what Jesus did on the cross, you know, it won't affect that stuff, you know. But he sees when the penny drops, and like you, because I remember you saying, you know, Christ is fighting for us, man. Christ is fighting for us. And we ended up writing that song. And what do you think? What do you think about gratitude in terms of, do you think gratitude is the answer for letting go of guilt? So, like, that's a bit of a complicated one, because, like, the essence of the song was, God, thank you for loving me just as I am, you know. And when I felt that when I was singing that, I was so far removed from things that made me feel guilty or ashamed. And I just wondered if you think there's any truth in that.
Yeah, I mean, well, as you were talking, I was thinking that sometimes we hold on to, like, guilt and shame because it's also become so much a part of our identity, and we're almost a little bit scared to lose it, because if we lose it, what are we going to have to define ourselves by? And it's so radical, like, being in Jesus, you know, believing that He has, like, we are a new creation in Him, and that actually He's the one that now determines our identity. It's not the things in our past, it's not these, like, this baggage we've been carrying for years and years and years, which does just become part of our armor, you know. It becomes part of our, I would go as far as to say it becomes part of our identity. So I think it's, I think sometimes the gratitude comes after the unburdening, you know, after that point where you're like, right, do you know what? I just have to surrender. And then that point of surrender comes, and then you just experience this freedom. And that's like, wow, like, why did I ever live with all of that stuff, you know? Mm. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I mean, I think gratitude is just a huge part, like a huge, huge part, because gratitude is remembrance, you know. Gratitude is, you have to have something to be thankful for. And mm-hmm. the things that we have to be thankful for are the work of Christ, you know, like it's the work that he's done. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. And so there's a beauty in gratitude in that it forces us to like remember and mm-hmm. to, yeah, just to celebrate what has been done. So yeah, I think it is all mixed. I mean, you sound like you've got a revelation there.
No, I totally agree with you. I was sharing something for a homeless charity last night for another video thing, and they just asked me about my story. And there's one thing I remember, which was when I went, the night I gave my life to Jesus. You know, I was living in a homeless hostel, but I'd been invited to this evening of testimony, and we got a free dinner and stuff. And I remember going home to the homeless hostel with gratitude when I had nothing, you know, which is a profound experience, because, but as you were talking, it's making lots and lots of sense to me, because like I'm grateful for what Christ has done in my life. I'm thankful for the fact that Christ has unburdened me from the decades of guilt and shame and fear and self-loathing and, you know, all, you know, insecurities that were just all wrapped up into this knot that couldn't get any tighter. And I went home to that homeless hostel grateful. And from that, I believe, was born just immeasurable hope as well, you know what I mean? And because we live in a society where people are grateful for stuff, you know? And like you said, like we have been unburdened and we have been redeemed, you know what I mean? And it's okay to be grateful for that stuff. And like you said, to remember what's happened in our world, because I believe in the power of testimony, man. I believe it. I mean, it saved my life, you know? It led Absolutely. Me to Jesus, you know? Yeah. And so like I think gratitude's huge, and just reflecting on the song that we wrote, thank you for loving me, Jesus, you know, because you did pay that price for my guilt on the cross, you know, and I need not be ashamed of who I am because my identity is in you, which ironically and weirdly was, you know, the basis of my whole EP, you know, our identity in God, the heart of the Father and the needs of the community, you know. So absolutely brilliant word there, mate. And thank you so much for your wisdom.
I love that. Also, I just a little note on the word testimony, because I was thinking about this last night. We had a little time of sharing with a church's worship team, not my church, another one. And I was just sort of hosting a little group, and we were just like reflecting on things that how we found God in this season, and you know, because it's really easy to focus on how you haven't found God, like all the things that have been taken away and like all the normal places you would find God. But I was like, let's focus on where we have found God, because he is certainly there to be found, you know. And so you know, gratitude came out as like a big theme of this time. And I was just thinking about testimony, because sometimes we really associate testimony with outcomes. Like, you know, when we get a good outcome, that's a testimony. But I was thinking it's actually also a testimony to just keep trusting God through a valley. Mm. You know, that's still a testimony, like that you have chosen to turn your face towards God when there's a lot of stuff that's coming against you. So I don't know why I felt to share that, but like, you know, sometimes it can feel like almost a pressure to have a huge testimony or to like have a, you know, this is like a thing where God has turned my life around. But actually it's like sometimes in the day to day of just like, I keep trusting God, like I keep holding on to him. Like that for me is a testimony in and of itself, because there is an alternative that we don't hold on to him, you know? So anyway, it's probably like a massive diversion, but
I think it's very relevant. I mean, I know from my lockdown experience, which, you know, I thrive on routine and being around people and volunteering. Yeah. You know, being a worship leader is a very small, I mean, it's not a very small part of my life, but it's just one part of the stuff that I do, you know.
Yeah.
And suddenly to have like 4/5 of my life suddenly taken out of that, you know, I found that tough and like difficult to adjust. I was like, what am I going to do was the main question, you know.
Yeah.
You know, which and the bonkers thing for me is I know for a fact that when I'm running on my will and my power, things fall apart relatively quickly, you know, but that's just the way things worked out for me over lockdown. And you know what? I managed to get through it. And it was songs and fellowship and even through serving through the miracles of technology, which I think are a blessing. You know, I was able to stay grounded in Christ, and we've gotten through this time. And you know, I think testimony is incredible. What I did hear from you was, you know, sometimes we feel this pressure to have this testimony, you know, every test. I mean, Christ is the testimony, you know, that we talk about. And I do say this when I share my testimony with people, that, you know, not everybody, in fact, there's not going to be a lot of people out there that have my testimony. You know, you've been homeless, you've been an addict, you've been, you know, a victim of trauma and stuff like that. There's going to be so many more people out there that are going to relate to the fact that you are a husband in a full-time job with three kids, or, you know, you're a single mum, or you're, you know, a single father, or you know what I mean, or a grandmother or a widow or anything like that. I says, don't be ashamed to share your testimony, because you know, God's going to use that
absolutely
to connect with somebody, and that's where the gold is, man, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm so grateful that we're talking about testimony, man, because it's something I'm so passionate about, mate. And you know, to be able to write that in a song as well is an incredible privilege. So thank you, Lucy, man, absolutely brilliant. So like, I think we'll finish up on like, just what's next on the horizon for Lucy, as you know, as we're starting to come out of lockdown, you know, things are slowly starting to take shape. What's next in the cards for you and your ministry?
Well, I mean, I've started to really get back to writing. I barely wrote anything last year because too many emotions, and I felt just very shut down and very like, I don't know what I want to say that isn't just going to be a cliche and something that I don't even believe for myself right now, because I'm still figuring it out with God. Mm-hmm. So I felt like the priority was just to get things sorted with God first before I kind of came back to writing. And thank God, I have a hunger for writing again. And I have been, you know, pretty consistently writing since the beginning of the year, which is just such a joy. So, yeah, I guess right now the focus is just to keep writing, to keep kind of tapping into what the songs are in this season and what I feel like, you know, are the songs that need to be written right now. And then I guess there'll be some more projects coming. I don't want to rush it. Like I feel like, you know, the pandemic slowed everything down to a halt, but it also kind of slowed me down in a way that I really needed to be slowed down. And just to kind of just go at a better pace, and just to, you know, like I wrote a song sort of a couple of months back, which just says, walking at the pace of love. And I just feel like that is, you know, it's a lofty aim, isn't it? To try and like, you know, not be so driven the whole time, not be so, there's a difference between being led and being driven. And I think a lot of the time I'm driven, like I'm not really operating out of peace or like, you know, like a healthy pace. I'm just trying to achieve. So actually I think, I would love to just be led, and like whatever project comes next, for it to just come out of a really restful place, a really peaceful place, a really good place. So I'm not trying to rush a project, but I am also, there's like definitely a hunger in me to make some more music. So definitely expect some more music. That was a very long answer. Goodness me. I could have just said, I'm going to make some more music.
No, I think that's a great answer, man. You know, when we were at our mutual friend's place in Northern Ireland that year for Open Skies, and there was a writing thing to it, Jason Upton very kindly spoke and did a devotional at the beginning, and he spoke about a time with his son, which was, I think he was making something in the backyard, and his son wanted to come and help.
Right.
And, you know, his son's a great lad, actually. And but, you know, his son just turned it into a bit of a disaster. You know what I mean? But Jason recognised that, it, you know, it didn't really matter, because his son just wanted to spend time with his dad. You know what I mean? Mm. It doesn't matter how fast you're going, or it was just that hunger to spend. And God is going to love the fact that we just want to listen to him and be led. And I think that's an incredibly healthy thing to be, and whether that's leading music or doing your work or being a mum or being a dad or being a friend or a worship leader. I think it's certainly a healthy way, because we do live in a world where, you know, we're constantly feeling the pressure to turn up, you know what I mean? And present and, you know, have something to show for our efforts. But sometimes it's just about spending time with God. And also, because, you know, you said you didn't write anything for a year. I think we had this chat before. It was Lou Fellingham that got in touch and said that it's all right to take some time. Our sister did a sermon, was it, you know, about the fields and how the farmers will give them time to recoup. What's the word? Was it fallow? So it gives us a ground time to re-nurture and become healthy again, so that when the next crop comes, it is a fruitful crop. And sometimes when you've poured all of yourself out into a project and all your emotions and stuff like that, you just need a bit of time to recoup, man. And you know what? That's a healthy thing.
It's so good, Steph. It's so good. I think that's a perspective so many people need to hear. I mean, I think you just need to know when you're poured out, like when you're dry, and that it's an uncomfortable place to be sometimes, because you're like, no, I must keep producing. I must keep, you know, putting stuff out or you know, but you can't, like, it's, you're not a robot, you know, it's not a factory line. And I find that fallow period sort of analogy so helpful as well, because it's not just like a kind of emergency part of the cycle, it's like an essential part of the cycle. It's not just like when you've hit burnout, it's like we should actually be kind of planning that into our life.
And burnout's horrible, man. I mean, I think there's been two significant parts of my life where I've absolutely burnt out, and it's I also find it difficult to rest properly, you know what I mean? Somebody said, how do you relax, how do you rest? And I went, I don't know, because whenever I'm sitting around doing nothing, I tend to be more tired when I'm, when I'm getting back on it. And it's because my friend says to me, you know, I'm perfectly well from the neck down. And he's absolutely right, because all my thinking exhausts me, you know, because I might be sitting around chilling out, trying to watch TV or read a book or whatever. I just can't focus on it because I've got 100 things going on at 100 miles an hour. And sometimes I just need to do something so finding that way, I find nice walks with my dog and smelling the air and looking at colours and conversations with people and enjoying food as well, but taking my time with it. It's all about that sort of fallow period that we're talking about, taking your time to recuperate, because we are children of God. And if I was looking at my kids and they were going, I'll be like, I think you need to have a break now, you know what I mean? Just because that's a healthy thing. So, man, our listeners are really going to love that, man. So, I mean, Lucy, thank you so much for your insight. Thank you so much for your time. As always, it is an absolute joy to speak to you. If people want to connect with your music and your ministry, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I'm on all the social media platforms just as Lucy Grimble. Or I have a website, lucygrimble.com. I'm on YouTube. Those are probably the main ways.
Amazing. So, well, Lucy, thanks. I'll let you get away. But thank you so much, and I'll speak to you soon.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Steph.
Man, I had so much fun catching up with Lucy. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to find out more about Lucy Grimble, go to lucygrimble.com. She's also on Facebook and Instagram, where you can give her a like and a follow. There's some fantastic music videos over on our YouTube channel too. And if you haven't heard her album, God's Heart Explodes, please go check it out. It is amazing. It's available on Spotify, Apple Music, and all other major streaming platforms. If you want to hear Lucy and I sing together on my new record, you can also find that on Spotify, Apple Music, etc. Just search Steph McLeod, O Perfect Father, and you'll hear the two of us singing the title track. So this is Steph McLeod saying thank you so much for tuning in to This Is My Story, This Is My Song. Until next time, God bless.